Happy Resurrection Sunday, Christ Rock. Let's do it again. All right. Let's just do it one more time. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Yes, 2,000 years ago, a man named Jesus Christ rose from the dead. It was one of the pivotal, if it's the pivotal moment in human history. And it couldn't be more relevant today. It's as relevant today as it was in the day that it happened. Because Christ did more than raise from the dead way back in the day. He cast a vision for an unshakable kingdom that would one day be the inheritance of God's people, which is us. And we need a vision of that today, I believe, because I don't know about you, but inside I'm aching a little. I'm getting a little tired of the tough times that we live in. I try to keep up with the news. You probably do too, and it's a tough read lately, isn't it? In the past few weeks, you've got this war in Ukraine raging on. It's one of 100-plus conflicts happening in the world. At any given time, you've got banks failing, crazy weather, people dying. You've got this tragedy that happened in Nashville. Seems like a tragedy like that happens every other week. And that's all this news on top of the day-to-day struggles and pain of your normal life weighing you down. I don't know about you, but sometimes it feels like the birth pangs of the end times are upon us. Enough of that over time starts to leave me shaken. There's days I just feel shaken. And enough of it, and I start to ask the question, where's the hope? I mean, where do you turn for a foundation of hope in these difficult times? See, God made a promise a long time ago. You see, people have been asking that question for a long time. Where's the hope? What do I do? What can I build upon? And God's people cried out thousands of years ago unto God, and God sent them a vision of a future Savior, and this is what he said about the Savior. He said, see, I lay a stone in Zion, that's Jerusalem, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. The one who believes will never be shaken. And so this promise was about a future Savior. And he said he'd be a cornerstone. Weird thing to call him, but it's this idea of a stone that you could build your life upon. It would set everything straight. It'd be a foundation upon which your life would not crumble if built upon. And he'd be a tested stone, saying God would know that this person was somebody we could be confident in. Well, 700 years later, a man named Jesus Christ was born, a baby, to a virgin mother in a town named Bethlehem. We celebrate this every Christmas. And his boy grows up to be a great rabbi. And one day he gets before a crowd of thousands and he preaches something called the Sermon on the Mount. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 7. It's the pinnacle of wisdom. And at the end of this, his core teaching of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, he says, build your life upon me. These are his words. These are his words to us today, the foundation he wants to build on. He says, whoever hears these sayings of mine, which he just got done sharing, and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on a rock, the teaching of Jesus. And everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, he will be likened to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it fell. And its fall was great. He's not really referring to a house. He's referring to a shattered, broken human life. It's great because it's the tragedy of a broken life that was not built on a sure and steady foundation of God's wisdom. Now, at some point in life, we all ask the question, how do I build a resilient life? How do I prepare my heart to deal with the inevitable pain and suffering that's going to come in this life? How do I do it? And Jesus gives an answer. He says, build it on my teaching. Listen to me. I'm going to show you the way. Build it on the sure foundation of what I want to tell you. And if you do, your life will be steadied. And so our mission as a church at Christ the Rock is to make disciples of Jesus. That's what we do. We want to point you to Jesus because we know he's a solid rock. People have been following his teaching for thousands of years, and it's sent people in the right direction. But the other reason we do this is because we know that the wind and the rain and the floods are going to come. They will come into your life, and when they do, we want you to be ready. I had some wind and rain recently come in my life. Floods came in, and it out of nowhere, like it usually does, just life changed kind of in an instant. This was February. Random Tuesday night in February, just a few weeks ago, I'm at Costco with my kids. And we're buying way too much stuff. You know how you go to Costco and you end up walking out, right? So we're loaded. Got some fun stuff. We're going to eat it on the way home. You know, I always get something with them. I'm like, hey, let's eat that. It's like $15, but you got to pay the price. Love Costco. So it's fun. My kids are always down with going. So we're walking out of Costco, and I don't notice in all the fun I'm having. My phone's blowing up. And I'm getting texts and calls from my extended family, and this doesn't normally happen. So I'm like, something's up. You know that sinking feeling you get when you start to get those calls? And I fear the worst. And I think I know what this is about, and I didn't want to hear it. So I picked up the phone. I'm sitting in the parking lot at Costco, and I call my cousin. I go, hey, what's going on? What? My phone's blowing up. She's crying. She says, yeah, my dad died. My uncle passed away. I'm shaken. I don't know what to make. I'm saying, wait, I start asking all the questions, and I'm like, what happened? How did it happen? When? What do you know? And she's crying, and I'm crying, and he's 62 years old, sat down on a couch, and his heart just stopped. In an instant, everyone's life was just changed. And I'm thinking to myself, what? I mean, I just had lunch with him out here in the lobby. He came, and he blessed me, and he bought me lunch, and I'm like, I have so many things I want to say to him. It's the third sibling on that side of the family to die in 4 years, including my mother. And so I'm just in the midst of the shaking. I'm like, what? Why? God, again, somebody in my life dies like that. Where are you in this? I don't know what you feel like. Death shakes me. I was shaken in that moment. And I had to sit with it for a number of days. And in my grief and sadness, as it settled upon me in my shakenness, there was also a gratitude that my life was built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Okay, and it's the thing about it, though. It's not just the teaching of Jesus that gives me comfort in those moments. The teaching is important, but it's the promises that Jesus Christ made about an unshakable kingdom. It's about the overcoming of death. You see, Jesus did more than just teach us how to live an unshakable life. He came to give us an unshakable kingdom. There's a difference here. Jesus was more than just a great teacher. You should build your life upon him. But he made promises about overcoming death, and he wants us to believe in this. See, he told the disciples, guys, I'm going to die. Can you imagine your Savior, your Lord, your Rabbi said, I'm going to die, and they didn't want to hear it. He said, no, you're not. They didn't want to deal with it. But he made a promise. He said, I will die. He said, but I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Notice he doesn't say you won't feel like orphans. You will. He says, I won't leave you as orphans. Have you ever experienced the death of someone close to you, especially a parent? That is an orphaning feeling. An orphaning, that is worse than being alone, because to feel orphaned is to feel alone without knowing where to turn for comfort or help or care. It's a very isolating feeling. And Jesus doesn't say, I cannot rescue you from feeling that way. But he also says, I will not leave you alone. I will not leave you in it. I will come to you. And this is the promise and hope of the resurrection. See, when Jesus died on the cross, the disciples went through the orphaning experience. Imagine being in the shoes of the disciples and your hope was in Jesus, and this guy gets just nailed to a cross, and they ask the question, where did you go? What do I do now? I don't know what to do. And he said, I wouldn't leave you. And he delivered on it. And this gets to the true heart of Christianity. Jesus was serious when he said, I won't leave you alone. Charles Spurgeon put it like this. I love this quote. He says, Jesus says that he does not promise, I will send you sanctifying grace or sustaining mercy. But he says, I will send you the only thing that will prevent you from being orphans. He said, I'll come to you. I'm going to come to you. And that's what he did. That's what we celebrate today. He came back. And so after 3 days, the female disciples, the followers of Jesus, the women went, they prepared some spices, and they went to the tomb. And what did they find at the tomb? The stone was rolled away, and they thought, what is going on? Why is that open? And they walked into the tomb, and they looked, and the body was gone. And so they started to get worried. Where'd it go? Why is this? What happened? And they thought, somebody stole the body of Jesus. They just don't remember. When all of a sudden, two men show up, angels, and they say to the ladies, they say, listen to this. Why do you look for the living among the dead? And hear these great words. Listen to this. He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you he was still with you in Galilee? He said this. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. And the lady said, yeah, I remember that now. And they got all excited, and they ran to the disciples and said, guess what? He is risen. And the disciples were like, we don't believe you. He's gone. We saw him die. So Jesus comes to them, and he appears to the 11. And they're freaked out. They still don't believe, and they think he's a ghost. And Jesus says to them, he confronts their disbelief, and he says, why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hands and feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And so you see, this resurrection wasn't spiritual. He was not a ghost. You could touch him. You could hang out with him. So he says to them, hey, get some food and let's have a meal. He actually pulls up a meal with them and says, hey, I want you to really see this. So they break bread together and they hang out, and slowly the disciples start to go, oh, it's real. Our Savior is with us. And then Jesus, in the course of his meal, says, he does something kind of strange. He says, listen, this is what I want you to do. He says, now repentance and forgiveness of sins can be preached to all nations. They must have been like, wait, what? You just rose from the dead. He goes, no, now, this is what I did, okay? Now repentance and forgiveness of sins can be preached to all nations. Why would he say something like that? At that time, what was he trying to refer to? You see, the disciples did not really understand what Jesus was doing. They didn't understand what happened on the cross, the point of his ministry, the idea of the kingdom of God. They were like, what is this thing? You see, what they hoped was that Jesus Christ would be a great revolutionary. See, Israel was under Roman occupation, and these guys thought, they'll get the Romans out, Jesus is going to come, he's going to conquer, and we're the disciples, so we're going to be a big deal in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is going to be greater than the kingdom of David 1,000 years before, and the whole world is going to marvel at this great kingdom. And then he dies on a cross. And imagine the shame they felt, like, whoa, like hide from this. They wanted to get away from him. They were shaken. But he had a much greater kingdom in mind. He had a much bigger idea. He said, I have a kingdom that is heavenly, a kingdom where all are welcome and will never be shaken, where sin and death would be defeated. And here's how he did it. You see, when he was on the cross, Christ made himself an offering to sin. Now, why would he need to do something like that? You see, the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the penalty for sin is death. It's that serious. All the pain and misery in your life, the news cycles, all the drama, all the things you're sick of are a result of sin, which leads to death. And Jesus said, I want to deliver you from sin and death, not Roman oppression. I have a bigger idea for you, a much bolder vision. And so when he's on that cross, what he did was so important because he allowed himself in that moment to be separated from the Father. He knows, Jesus knows more than any of us what it feels like to be an orphan. Because in that moment on the cross, he had to be fully separated from God. What did he say? My God, why have you forsaken me? He is utterly alone on the cross. And all the wrath of God that is rightfully directed at us who have sinned is directed at Jesus Christ. And his body is broken. We looked at this on Good Friday. Is broken and his blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. And when that blood was spilled, he spilled it for you. Because he loves you. And he wants to provide a path back onto him so that you don't have to live with the shame and pain of your sin. And when he rose from the dead, he overcame sin and death. And this is the gospel and the way the kingdom of God was founded upon by the work of Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. This is the gospel in 1 Corinthians 5. It says, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? It's almost mocking it, saying, listen to this. For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank be to God, he gives us the victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So Christ died for all, so that all might be saved, and so that sin and repentance can be preached throughout the whole world to all nations. And so now when you repent in the name of Jesus, and you confess your sin, God says, I forgive you, and he allows you into the kingdom of God. And he wanted everybody who would listen to hear this message. So when he's having this dinner with the disciples, he had a plan the whole time. He said, I want you guys to go take this message to the world. He says, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. He says that to them after talking about repentance. I says, go to the world, tell them sin and death has been overcome. Let everybody hear it so that all can be in the kingdom of God. And then he said, I'm going to give you the power you need to do it. So Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you alone. There's three ways that he's going to come back to us. One was the resurrection. The second was right here. He said, I'm going to send you somebody greater than me. Who could be greater than Jesus Christ? He's talking about the Holy Spirit. So at the same meal, he says to them, and with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And so at the meal, he breathes on them. He breathes the Holy Spirit, and the disciples come alive. They're empowered to go and take this message to the whole world. And then Jesus ascends to heaven, where he's sitting at the right hand of God right now doing the ministry of reconciliation. And those boys go out and they change the world. I'm preaching the same gospel that they preached back in the day, and they changed the world. But before he went, Jesus gave one more promise, one very important promise. He said, I'm going to come again. You will see me again and again. I think this is going to be soon. He said, I'm going to come back again, and I'm going to bring with me a new heaven and a new earth. It's part of the inheritance of every believer, and everything that can be shaken will be gone. And this will be a new kingdom that is the inheritance of all of us who believe. And here's how it sounds in Romans or Hebrews chapter 12. It says, at that time, this is going to come, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate that removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken will remain. That's all that will be left. Therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. You sick of the negative news cycles? Are you sick of all the difficult news to hear? The pain and suffering and misery and loss within your own lives, the disappointment? Are you tired of sin and death? I don't know about you. I am. I'm sick of it. I'm a middle-aged guy. I'm tired of it already. I got tired of it real fast. The resurrection of Jesus Christ points to the renewal of all things, and God wants to bring a kingdom of heaven to us as an inheritance. This is his gift to us. And he wants us to long for it. He actually wants to put a longing in our heart for what is to come. And so this Easter, let me ask you a question. What do you hope for? I mean, in this life, where is your hope? What gets you out of bed in the morning? Is it graduating high school or college? To get that great job one day? Is it getting married or having children or retiring or a vacation or a bigger house or a newer car? You get any of those things, do they ever really deliver? They all come with some level of trouble, don't they? In my family now, we got a puppy recently thinking, oh, that's going to be so great, so much fun. This has been my life, okay? And that's tame. The dog is wreaking havoc. He's eating food off my plate. I don't know what to do with this thing. It's making a mess out of my house. It's fun, but it sure is hard. People say these come to it. I don't know. Okay? Look, my point is nothing this side of heaven ever delivers, okay? There will be disappointment that comes with it. And God wants us to put our hope in a sure thing. He wants us to put our hope in the resurrection, in Jesus Christ, and in the unshakable kingdom that is to come. Now, I want to cast a vision from the Bible for you as we end today. I want you to hear about the inheritance, this unshakable kingdom. When Christ comes again, the third way that he comes to us, this is what he's going to bring, and this is where you will be if you know the Lord. And so go to the end of the Bible in Revelation, and they let us know what to look forward to. The writer John here says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. That's the shakable stuff. It's gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. It's going to be a vision. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. God wants you to put your hope in that. That is going to be your inheritance if you know the Lord. It's the unshakable kingdom of God. And there's going to come a day, one day, and I think it will be soon. The Bible says we don't know the hour, but I believe it will be soon. He's going to bring a new heaven and a new earth. All this will pass away. The old order of things will be gone, and God will dwell with us. He will be with us. He will never leave us again. And he says there'll be no more tears, death, and mourning, and crying, and pain, and negative news cycles. Everything will be new. It will be an unshakable kingdom of God where even puppies behave. And they're going to stay cute forever. But seriously, God wants you to look forward to that. That's your inheritance. And the thing is, we just desire so weakly, okay? We don't really want to think that that's real because we can't imagine something that doesn't disappoint. But there's going to come a day when nothing disappoints us. We'll actually live in glory with the Lord, and there'll be none of that with us. I want you to believe that it's true today. The resurrection points to that being true, and that is your inheritance as a child of God. Now, here's the thing. It only comes to the children of God, and the only way you can become a child of God is to put your hope in the firstborn among the dead, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. It's the only way. The only way unto the Father is through the Son. The only way to have your sins forgiven is through the blood of Jesus on the cross. So if you've not given your life to Jesus today, today's the day to build your life on the solid rock. Outside of that, I can tell you, no hope. It will just be negative news cycle after other. But you can look forward to this if you put your hope in Jesus. Don't go another day without your hope in Jesus. And the way you do that is you confess your sin to him. Go, I need a Savior. Lord, I need a Savior. Confess your sin to the Father. Ask for his forgiveness. And his blood will cover. He covers that. See what he did on the cross. There's nothing you can have done or will do that he will not forgive. You have to understand that. The blood of Jesus is that powerful. So when he died on that cross, he died for you because he loves you, and you can be welcomed into the kingdom of God. And once you come to the Lord, build your life upon his teaching. It's a sure and steady foundation. The unshakable kingdom can be yours. Today is the day. Easter 2023, give your life to the Lord. Today is the day. Those of you who have been walking with the Lord for a while, maybe it is you are just tired of the news cycles and this constant negativity in the world. And the issues of your life, the pain, the struggles are just putting cracks in your heart. There's disappointment. Maybe you've lost somebody and you feel orphaned. You know what I'm talking about. And the tears have flown more than normal. Today the Lord wants to fill you. I want to invite you to bring it to Jesus because he wants to make you whole. He wants to give you a vision. He wants to sustain you. He wants you to come alive. He wants to be with you right now. He wants to actually help you believe that this is really real. So he wants you to come to him today and bring all those things to him, even if you just don't feel it right now. So we're going to sing a couple songs here to end. And I just want you to, for this first one, to sit back and let the Holy Spirit minister to your heart right now and trust him that he is with you. And if you haven't given your life to the Lord, give it to him during the song. Confess your sin, pray out to him. But let's let God just speak some hope into our lives this incredible Resurrection Sunday, and then Ben will come close us. So let's worship him.